How many tonight would say, I am so thankful I have a relative or several relatives who are in heaven? I'm assured of that. I know it. I'm thankful for it. Huh? How many can say that? Amen. It's wonderful that we have that tremendous hope. The word hope in the Bible is not a wish. We talk about the blessed hope. It's not a blessed wish. It's an assurance thing. I mean, we're sure of it, and praise God for that marvelous hope that we have. I want us tonight to stop and consider a few things about heaven. Really, the Bible doesn't have a whole lot about it. There's a lot more about hell in the Bible than there is about heaven. That's amazing. But turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Book of Revelation chapter number 21. Though we could start earlier, I want to go down to verse number 22, and we'll be reading right on through chapter 22 for a few verses as well. It says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for your marvelous word. We thank you for the promise that is ours of being able to be with you throughout all of eternity in a place called heaven. We ask tonight that you might just enlighten us as to its marvelous beauty. You might help us to understand what I believe is probably the most important aspect of all. And Lord God, I pray that you would just bring glory and honor to yourself's result. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I remember the year was 1979. And my father had celebrated his 75th birthday. About a week later, I took him and we went, and I knew a lady had some horses. He'd been talking about it a lot. He'd trained horses. And we went for the very first time and rode horses together. Didn't last too long, but it lasted a little bit. And it's a very fond memory. It wasn't but just a few weeks later, he had a major stroke, and two nights after that, another, and he passed away. My dad was an unusual individual. One of the things that I remember in the latter years was how much he read the Bible, because I'd never seen that previously. And so I'm thankful tonight because I believe that my father's in heaven. I'm thankful that we can have that marvelous hope of where somebody's at. I'm thankful tonight that just a little over 5 years ago, my son went to heaven. It was only 2 weeks later that a good friend of our church and missionary, Brother Josh Wesson, went to be with the Lord as well. And so we look around, and I can look at your faces. I remember some of your parents, brothers and sisters, different ones that have been a part of your world, but now they're gone. And they are in heaven. For that, we are very, very thankful. In these verses, we're given some description of heaven. It's only a partial view. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah 64. In verse 4, it says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." It's interesting. We go to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he says, "But as it is written," and this is a reference back to that verse, and again it says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him." And so we look at some description, but as we notice from those two verses, it does not touch the hem of the garment of the glories that we will behold one day. For the most part, heaven is described in some physical terms, revealing its magnificence over the earth as we know it. If we go back to chapter 21 and read some verses, begin verse 11, we find that it speaks of the foundation of the heavenly Jerusalem. And we find in that foundation 12 different stones. And what a magnificent display of light must come off of those stones as the Lord, the light, goes shining through those. And the beauty that must be there. We find that there's tremendous beauty. Verses 22 through 25 that we read here tonight. And we find that the nations, they come and they walk and bask in the light of it. And we are delighted at its inhabitants. And we're thankful tonight that those who will be in our presence for eternity are those who have been saved by the blood of Christ. And that which is abominable, that which is defiling, we find in verse 27, they will not be there. And so we find it'll be a perfect place with perfect people. That'll be something, I don't know if it takes some getting used to, because I think we'll expect it right away. But nonetheless, what a marvelous thing that is. But I would say this to you tonight, more than anything else, I believe it's the presence of the Lord and his illumination of all of that which we call heaven that is most important. That we might see him, that we might come face to face with him. I've heard people criticize, say, "What are we going to do in heaven? We just going to sing all the time?" By the way, what's wrong with that? I find when a person has the fullness of the Spirit, there's a song in their heart. That's interesting. You find that in Ephesians. By the way, you go to the book of Colossians, and you find sister verses there, and there it's talking about the fullness, not the fullness of Spirit, but a person who is immersed in the Word of God having the same thing, and that is music that comes from their soul. And so you and I, we have the marvelous privilege to be in the presence of God and to see all that he has for us. Some of the terms that we're going to look at tonight, I believe they are fantastic. They seem simple at first, but hopefully we can kind of stop and look and just marvel at our God and what he has prepared for us. Are you looking forward to heaven? Somebody says, "Well, I'm not trying to get there right now. I just soon put the trip off." But seriously, wouldn't it be what we're messing with now? Did you know there will be no mask in heaven? For we will know everybody. Amen? Time out. Did you know the CDC said that people in California, because of the smoke fires, that masks will not help them? Those particles are bigger than the COVID particles. Well, you figure it out. People need to think a little bit. Anyway, I got off that. I feel so much better. But I want to stop and think about a few terms tonight. In the book of John, chapter 14, He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." I want you to notice there, it is described as our Father's house. Our Father's house. A house somehow identifies you as a resident, a citizen with all of its rights and responsibilities. As most of you know, this is my hometown, and I grew up at 25th and Avenue C. Chad lives at 25th and Avenue D, just a block away. I never threw a rock at that house, but I could have in those days. But as I go up and down the streets, so often I will see a house that a friend lived in. Every time I'd drive down 28th Street and get about between Avenue D and E, there's a house on the right-hand side as you're going south, and my good friend Larry lived there. I always think of him when I go by there. And so there's memories that come back. You drive down the street and you see this or that one, and it represents different people. But I think something else a house represents is not just identifies us, but it shows to us or gives to us protection. Protection. And notice whose house it is. It's the Father's house. And what great protection we have. Nothing will ever harm us there. Amen? I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe that those who are inside of my house, family or friends, are my responsibility. And if somebody seeks to harm them, you're going to have to deal with some lead poisoning. Because I believe that I have a responsibility to protect my family. Amen? Aren't you glad that the Father will take care of us throughout all of eternity? And so we have that protection. But there's something else about a house. It's a place where people gather together, and I would call it family unity. Now, I realize there are some houses, you walk up to the door and all you're going to hear is cussing and wailing and hollering and screaming, and there's fighting going on. But that's not the house I grew up in, nor the house that I have sought to deal with through the years of our marriage. And so it's a place of unity. I don't know about you, but every now and then our family gets together, and normally in these days it's kind of neat because last Labor Day it was my grandkids that decided they wanted to come to Grandpa's house and eat our food. And no, they brought their own and they cooked it and all those things. And it was a real blessing to me. And it's neat to see as you can come together and have that unifying factor. And one of these days, in the midst of it all, we're going to have that marvelous unity. How good and pleasant it is we find when God's people can dwell in unity. And that's what we're going to see throughout all of eternity in the Father's house. There's another term that is used that I believe is in the area of fantastic, and that is, it's a heavenly country. Hebrews 11:16 says, "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." I want you to think about this for a moment. Those who are coming to this country have desired a better one. They are now immigrants going into the country of God. And we find that when we get there, he has prepared something for us. Marvelous as it is. Many years ago, in our nation, it still happens, I believe, some immigrants would come across the ocean from Europe, and they would come through New York Harbor, and they would see the Statue of Liberty. And that represented to them freedom. It represented that they were welcome. They could come and seek to make a life for themselves. There was no, or should not have been, segregation or ridicule. It was a place of openness and allowing those who wanted to come. And so we have a heavenly country that awaits us tonight. Praise God for that. Amen. So we have the Father's house. We have a heavenly country. But let me just give you one more term. You'll know this one right off the bat. It's called paradise. Paradise. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, 3, 4 says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. That's interesting, the third heaven. You say, what is that? What's the first heaven? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We're talking about the atmosphere. We also think about the heavens where the stars are at. But this is the third one. And I believe this is the throne or the abode of God. He says, I was caught up in the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. This is probably referring to the time that the Apostle Paul was stoned at Lystra. They thought he was dead, but he rose up from that, and God marvelously saved him. And so probably it was that time that he's looking back to. And we find him speaking about some things here. He said he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. I looked at that and I thought, my goodness, what do you mean unspeakable words? If you're in paradise, why is something unspeakable? Why is it not lawful for a man to utter it? And I had to stop and think and consider. There's something very curious about the Jewish people, and that is they're very careful about using the name of God. Matter of fact, you go online and you get on a Jewish site, you will find many times when they use the word God, they will have G, there will be an underline, and then a D. And so they won't even spell it out completely. And those were unspeakable words, probably the names for God, particularly the name of Jehovah. I believe the reason for that is they so revered his name, they believed to speak it was dishonoring to the Lord. I sometimes wonder if we are guilty of that very thing when we pray. And we use what I would describe as vain repetition as we say his name so often that it becomes just commonplace. Has not that position of glory and honor. Paradise. We have a place that God has prepared for us. It's called the Father's house. It's called a heavenly country. It's called paradise. We could probably find other things in the Word of God, but these three, I believe, describe to us a marvelous place that you and I have relatives who are already there, enjoying the presence of God. I can't remember how many years ago it was. My father-in-law, Harold, had called me over to his house many times. He'd been very, very sick. And basically, I have the same problem he does, except they've learned a few things since then. And there were nights that he felt so bad, he'd call me and ask me to come over and pray with him. He didn't want to pray me to pray that he'd get better. He wanted me to pray that God take him home. And honestly, many times I sat on the side of the bed, and that's exactly what I asked God to do. That was his request. And one day, that took place. And to the presence of God, he went. And I think of a little song that children sing. Heaven is a wonderful place. Do you know it? Filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, because heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there. Beautiful little song. But we have something to look forward to. Amen. The glories of heaven. Brethren, it's not about the streets of gold. It's not about the gates of pearl. It's not about the 12 foundations of stone and all the beauty that rises with it. It's not about that. It's not about the river of life or the tree of life. It's about Jesus and getting to be with the Lord. Sometimes we refer to somebody passing as going to be with the Lord. We really stop and think what that means. To come in His presence, to be able to rejoice with Him forevermore. Brother Kimmel one day, he said to me, "I'm not sure we ought to pray for people to get better." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, do you think perhaps we're praying a lot of people out of heaven? Do you think perhaps that God wants to take them to heaven because we're praying? He says, "All right, you have your way." I don't know. But it's an interesting concept. And what a marvelous, marvelous thing that you and I have awaiting for us. A place called heaven. Why? Because of its beauty? No, because of its person. Our God will be there. His light will shine through it all. Praise God for the privilege. And it's all by grace. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you this evening that we can just revel in what you've done with those whom we have known. Many who have sat where these folks sat tonight, who are now in your presence. Oh God, we thank you that we've had the marvelous privilege to call upon you and to have these hell-bent souls saved from death and hell, and to be saved into your presence. And Lord, I pray that you might help us as we're looking from day to day to keep an eye on heaven, realizing there is something marvelous that's just around the corner. Bless as we have gathered together tonight as we rehearse some prayer requests. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.